And Milhouse goes, no, she doesn't. And then they said, Milhouse likes Lisa. And then I think the little girl, Janie, no, he doesn't. Janie likes Milhouse. And then Uter said, no, she doesn't. And it's, they said, Uter likes Milhouse. And then the band director goes, nobody likes Milhouse. Now be quiet.
Good day and good gaming, Retro Junkies, and welcome to another episode of the Retro Junkies Super Show. I'm your host, Rob, and joined with me, as always, is my main man, my partner in retro gaming crime, Milhouse. I mean, Landon. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I was trying to think of a good Milhouse line. My feet are wet, but my cuffs are bone dry. Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
I'm trying to think of some more Milhouse lines. I'm kind of drawing a blank right now, but he's one of our favorite characters to tease.
Oh, I know one. I know one that I like. I'll let you go, but I know one that absolutely cracked me up.
My favorite one is just, you know, the one we were just talking about, where he loses his glasses and he's petting a horseshoe crab, going, "Nice doggy."
Yeah. He's hissing at him. One of the ones I like is where it's the one where Lisa likes Nelson, and she gives Milhouse a note to pass to him in class. He passes it up to Nelson, and it says, "Guess who likes you?" And Milhouse waves at him, and the next scene shows Milhouse getting carted out in an ambulance, and Lisa's like, "Oh no, Milhouse, I'm so sorry." And the EMT goes, "He can't hear you. We had to pack his ears with gauze."
Now, who do you think got it worse, Milhouse or Martin?
I think Martin probably was. Milhouse, you know, he
or Uter.
Oh, don't make him run. He's full of chocolate. The one I think of Uter is the hockey episode, which is really good, and the one where they sneak into the field trip to watch the Civil War reenactment, and the reenactor kind of catches them peeking over the fence. He goes, "Everybody get them. They're trying to learn for free." And they take out after them. And like Otto is like siphoning gas out of the other buses to put into the Springfield bus because they're so poor. And it's like, "Everybody get in, get in."
Get him!
And they all run into the van, into the bus, except for Uter. And he's running and he like gets a stitch in his side and he goes, "Ooh!" And then you see like the Civil War reenactors like beating him with guns.
The bus leaves him behind.
Yeah, Skinner's like, "God bless the man who made permission slips."
Oh, I love it. Oh gosh, classic Simpsons. You gotta love it. Speaking of which, I went to Target today and I got me a Bart Simpson skater shirt. It's like tie-dye, but it's got Bart holding a skateboard. But for some reason, I was just talking to Kirkland about this. Every Simpsons shirt I get never fits right. I don't know why. They're always too small. So I bought an extra large on this one. And I was like, okay, this will be plenty bag enough. And I put it on. It feels like a medium. I was like, oh no.
And
of course, I threw away the tag.
You're like Duff, man. You're just so muscular. You fill out all your shirts.
No way. Duffman can't breathe. Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Today is a true winging it because Landon and I, first of all, I'll preface all this by saying I'm so sorry. This is a crazy busy time at work, and I just didn't get a lot of time to prepare for the Spider-Man episode. Now, the next episode, the big super show that we're going to do next is it's going to be Spider-Man and Venom versus Maximum Carnage. I think that's what it's called for the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis. And we were going to talk about a bunch of different Spider-Man things. And I wanted to really prepare for it, you know, put some time, put some hours in the game and do some research. And I just didn't have the time this particular month. But I wanted to talk to Landon anyway, so I was like, hey, why don't we just do a wing in it? Just get up on here and put something out there. And that's why we're here today. We literally have nothing planned, so.
I think it's going to be a fun show.
Exactly. I think so, too. We do have some questions on our Facebook group page that I was Landon and I, we weren't originally planning to record today, but Landon kind of texted me midway through the week and said, hey, I'm going to be available Friday if you want to do something. I said, heck yeah, let's do it. So I had originally had some questions I was going to answer solo on a show, but it's going to be way more fun now that Landon's
here.
We can both talk about him together.
Now.
No way.
He's going to ruin it.
Oh, get out of here. Whatever. You're the funny guy.
No way.
I'm just cashing in on your celebrity. Just like,
that's why you're so poor.
Just like I was gonna like, just like where did I get? Where have I heard that line? Oh, the Peanuts movie where Sally cashes in on Charlie Brown's celebrity. Yeah, have you seen the new Peanuts movie? It's really good.
We've got that, and I've never watched it.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. The new Peanuts movie is awesome, and it always reminds me of Grayson. As a matter of fact, his nickname is Peanut. But Christabeth was pregnant with Grayson when the movie came out, and I remember that was one of the last movies we ever watched as just a married couple and not, you know, parents. So it was kind of crazy, because she was really, really far along with Grayson at that point. So, but yeah, great, great movie. But yeah, so today we are just kind of going to stands, and we're going to grab some wings, and we're just going to talk about anything. So you hungry, Hosehead?
I sure am.
All right, well, let's go.
Hey, Terrence, we made it to stands. We sure did, Philip.
Get out of here, Ugly Bob. I'd like to eat at this table.
Why are you so ugly, Ugly Bob?
Why you guys have to be so mean to me?
It's like someone put out a fire on your face with a screwdriver, Ugly Bob.
Poor Ugly Bob.
He's like, that's mean and hurtful. Why are you guys so mean to me?
Okay, guys. So Hoser, what kind of wings you gonna get for today's special episode of Winging It?
Let's see. Since it's special, let me think for a moment.
Special as if we have nothing planned.
Well, you know, that's how all special episodes start out.
That's right.
Let's see. What am I gonna have? I think I'll just go with the traditional ranch wings that we usually get at the real place that's the inspiration for Stan's.
Yes, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, just some dry rub ranch wings and dip them in a cup of hot sauce. Oh.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Well, you know, here's a launching pad. You talk about, you know, what we did back in the day. Landon and I were just talking about this right before we hit record here. This blows my mind, Landon. It brings a smile to my face. It kind of makes me laugh at the same time. We have been podcasting for nearly 10 years now. We started in late 2012, and that is a shocker for me. You know, we got 60, maybe 60 episodes in 10 years, so.
I mean, that's like six a year.
Six a year? That's not bad.
It's not horrible. It's like one every 2 months, give or take. Yeah.
There's been breaks where we've taken a whole year off from recording and all that stuff, but you know, I think of let me ask you first: Are there any standout episodes or fun things we did that just really always stood out to you regarding the show?
A lot of the really early ones were really fun. I really liked those, like Kool-Aid Man. That always stands out because I drank a lot of Kool-Aid for that one.
Me too.
What else? The Galaga one, which was good, which led into Retromania Brother. I love that. That whole time period, like the first like 3 years, are really, they're so weird and wild and totally different. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no show is ever the same. So that was always liked that. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Especially that first year. 2013 was such a fun year for doing the podcast. Everything was new, and if you go back and listen, oh, we had some growing pains, especially me in particular. You were always, Landa, I always admired you because you were always spot on and funny and just yourself. And me being the editor, I would listen to me. I'm like, oh, shut up.
So, quiet, Rob.
I'm like, geez, Landa should just do this show by himself.
But, well, you know, Nick DeMarco said that once. He's like, why don't you just call it the Landa Long Show? I'm like,
Landa Long Show. See, you bring the ratings.
It's like, nah, then we won't get any listeners. Like, me and you'll be the only two that listen to it, Nick.
But, yeah, I think of, you know, a big influence on both of us was the Angry Nintendo Nerd. And I always loved the skits that he did. And I wanted to make sure, and I loved radio dramas, too. I was listening to old Superman radio back in the day. And I wanted to do some skits. And I'll never forget when we started doing wacky stuff. I was like, there's a lot of retro gaming podcasts out there, but I don't know of many that just do skits and just act goofy and write songs on the show, things like that. So I think we just, kind of went for it really early on. I remember my all-time favorite episode, just because it kind of opened the door for all the things that we would try to do after that, was our arcade episode, the 80s arcade one. Where
that was a good one.
Yeah, it was super fun, super cheesy. And if you go back and listen, which I don't recommend, it was a lot of fun, though, at the time.
Look at his table. Zombies don't play Pogs. He's got three with Alf over there on him.
Games.
I'm not sure I want to go just yet.
Okay, Rob, I want you to take a look.
There, like a demon silhouetting the barren city, hangs a poster for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, now in theaters. Okay, we're going!
When did my arcades go by? My arcades.
Now, I'm at least gonna try to finish one slice, but this thing looks so nasty. There's globs of jelly all around scattered. It looks like I see little bones in these anchovies, or heck, I don't know what they are. Oh my gosh, I'm nervous.
Do it.
All right, Landon, here we go, buddy. Oh my. Power glove. I'm sorry to ruin your day, Mr. Zombie, but you just messed with a punk with power. Take this. Oh, it doesn't work.
You should count your blessings, man. At least you're not ugly.
You kid, I know I'm ugly. I stuck my head out the window, got arrested for mooning.
Well, at least after a hard day's work at the skate shop, you got a wife to come home to.
My wife is dumb. Are you kidding? You want to know how dumb she is? It takes her an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that once again, just like the past 10 years, Bowser Pete is going to win the annual RJ Halfpipe Joust Tournament.
Not this year.
Go get him, champ. You did it, man! You truly are my half-pipe hero.
Thanks, big guy.
Hey, let's head back home and finish up this podcast. What do you think?
Can we get some ice cream on the way?
You betcha.
Hooray!
Whoa, Rob, look out! He's got a knife!
You got that right. Take this. There. That long string from your shirt would have been terribly embarrassing for you had I not intervened.
Dang it! Why does everyone have to be so nice?
Oh, Rob and Landon, I heard your second episode, so I know how much you love Pac-Man for the 2600 and Dash Galaxy and the Alien Asylum. And Nick, I've got a little trick and treat for you. How about a little Roger Rabbit?
No! Guys, we gotta get out of here!
Dude, Rob, look out! There's a blandly designed giant Pac-Man head right behind you! Run!
I'll just duck. I don't think you can turn down. That's it. I'm closing these blinds. Wait. What is that? No!
There's a death curse!
Whoa! Guys, it's Jason's mom's severed head! Right next to Action 52!
Not the Action 52!
Jason, mother is talking to you!
Rob, look out!
We're gonna need a montage. Work those thumbs, kid! Fire! What you need is speed! Fast, greasy speed! Chuck those raw eggs! Grab that tractor beam! Kill that Galaga! Use those double ships! Catch the chicken, Rock!
Hey, my name is Nick!
You're looking good, kid!
Yeah, I just ate pork chop I found in LOL.
Oh!
Come on in.
It is a coffin!
Morning, brother! I was getting my tan on before I run wild all over the weight room. Now let me tell you something, brother! What you gonna do when Hulkula Mania runs wild on you?
Well,
I'll tell you what you're gonna do, brother. You're gonna crank Hulkula's radio to 11 and watch him curl 250 pounds with one arm, brother.
I find your lack of manners disturbing. Nonetheless, this game will be mine. After all, Rob, I am a collector.
No!
But yeah, I just remember editing the effects on that, and then just when we posted the episode, going back and listening to it again, going, I'm proud of that. That was fun. And it made me laugh, if nobody else. We started doing skits pretty much after that all the time. And for this one, we're not going to be doing any skits because, no joke, skits usually take hours and hours to edit. But I'm always really, really proud of them.
They're always
they're
good.
Always better than I expected.
I always liked our creative process. Like, me and you would just text each other. You're like, what's a weird, wacky situation we could get into, but we could get out of really quickly if we needed to?
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, well, let's try this. What if blah, blah, blah happens and the Jib-Jub shows up? And we wave our magic wand and send him away.
Yeah, exactly. And we would always have our buddies get involved. Like, I think of... speaking of Nick DeMarco, I think of the Galaga skit. I think of the Rocky skit that we did when I was training to change Grayson's diapers.
That was a good one.
And you were Mick.
You're a bum.
I think of one of my favorite ones was the Star Wars skit with Willie the Collector.
That was good. That was a good one. Willie does really good bad guy voices.
He really does. And big condolences to Willie. I know he lost his dog this week, Snarfle. And I know how much Snarfle meant to him and his wife. So, you know, big condolences to you. Our hearts go out to you, man. We appreciate everything that you do for Retro Gaming and everything you've done for us in the past. And we love you, man.
Yeah, that's hard, man. Because, you know, Snarfle was a big part of his life, too. Like, he was in some videos and... You know, I always liked the little, like, pictures and updates like Willie would put out every once in a while on his personal page about Snarfle.
Yeah, me too. I think he had a profile picture of him and his dog for the longest time, or like a drawing or something of him and Snarfle. So, yeah, it's tough times, buddy, but we're here for you, and we appreciate you, man. But going back to just all the funny personalities we had on the show. I mean, it was a ton of fun, and you know, it was a roller coaster. There were, I think, in 2014 and 2015, those were kind of like the harder years because we had growing families. You know,
yeah, we were trying to work. You can tell a lot of family and show balance things going on during that time.
Oh, for sure. Like, I think of and also my dad was sick then too in 2015, so I had to kind of take a step back from the show. And new job, I was just starting at Scott County, new school system, and gosh, it's just, you're starting all over pretty much every time. A lot of just real life situations came into play. But I'll tell you what, I think one that really revived everything for me was our Blue Marlin episode. Like,
oh,
when
dude,
we finally
yeah.
came back, like a year, we almost took about a year off. And completely unintentional, because the one before that one was a lot of fun, too. The Super Spike V-Ball game was fun.
I played that today, actually.
That music great. Always puts me in a good mood.
That's like a good one if you've got a few minutes and you're just like, I want to play a game, but I don't want to get really invested in anything. That's a good one to play.
It's a good one to pick up. I agree with you. Yeah, so then we did the Blue Marlin one, and it was right around Christmas time, and all the skits we did for that was super fun. And I think that kind of set the tone for, you know, everything we would do for the next year and a half now. And meeting the Zambonis and doing that episode was a lot of fun. So... I feel like we've kind of had a little renaissance period, a retro renaissance period, and this feels like the early days, which is awesome.
Yeah, those early days were great.
They really were. And there are some people that have stuck with us since the very beginning, like Eric Purcell, Gay Van Gilder, of course, Nick DeMarco and Kathleen. You know, after all the years and all the podcast feed switches and everything, they're still around. And
I know, it's like we switch feeds every time we have a resurgence. It's like, oh yeah, by the way.
Yeah, we're on a new feed. Well, I tell you, if I'd have known about Anchor 10 years ago, I would have taken it in a heartbeat.
Anchor's awesome.
Yo, it's free and it's easy. Oh, man, I wish I'd have known this stuff. Oh. And all the stuff you learn, you know, tips and tricks you learn over the years, man, it just makes it so much easier over time. But you just kind of live and learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of great memories regarding the show. It's been a blast doing it with you, buddy. And hey, it feels great to just do this consistently again. And it's just been a lot of fun. But yeah, man, so how about this? Let's go ahead and I was thinking about this today, and I wanted to ask you this question.
Okay.
If you could pick, you know, two or three games that just put a big smile on your face, just two or three feel-good games, what would they be, my friend?
Oh, that's a good one, man. That's let me think for a minute.
They don't even have to be good games.
Just ones that you play and you're like, man, that was a good time.
I love this game. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think what I... Probably the first one, and it's one of my all-time favorite games, and it's like the serious gamer pick, I guess you would say, would be Chrono Trigger.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I like that one. This one, I might get some flack on this one, but Twisted Metal 2.
Style. Sophistication. The ability to launch napalm into oncoming traffic. If these are the things you look for in an automobile, it's time you test drive Twisted Metal 2. Fully automated weaponry, dual rocket launchers, and the new APS flamethrowing system. All standard. Drive the 1997 Twisted Metal 2 on PlayStation from Sony, and let style be your weapon.
Really? I didn't know that.
For some reason, I can pick that game up and like play it, and I have a blast when I play it, whether I win or die or, you know, whatever the end result is. I always have a good time playing that one. I've always liked the Twisted Metal games. They're always really good, I thought.
Oh, I'm with you. I thought the Twisted Metal games were great. I remember back when they came out, I was like, oh my gosh, the graphics and the rock music, this is the coolest game ever.
And the crazy clown and the ice cream truck.
Exactly. Yeah, so scary looking.
I know. Like, I was always kind of scared to hurt him.
Me too. I remember the first time I saw it, I didn't have a PlayStation yet. And my parents had a summer home in Maryland. And one of our neighbors was like, I think he was my age, and he had Resident Evil 1 and I think the first Twisted Metal. And I watched both of those games just religiously. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to get a PlayStation because it seems so edgy.
I know, that was a cool thing. That's what the cool kids had.
That's right. Yeah, let's see. Feel-good game for me. I'm trying to pick one that's not an obvious one, like, you know, that is like a well-known great game. Oh, shoot.
I know one for you, but I'm going to hold back on saying it.
Oh, okay.
I know one for you, but I'm going to hold back on saying anything about it till you say your picks.
All right. I've got one for you. Now, oh my gosh, people are going to roll their eyes when I say this one. Kool-Aid Man for the Intellivision. That's a feel-good game to me. When I play that game, even though it's not a great game or anything, it's just kind of like your standard game, I love food product games. I don't know why. I love anything that's retro food products or retro snack products. Doesn't matter. Drink products, doesn't matter. If it's a game, I'm going to play it. I play that game. It reminds me of the early days of the Junkies, and it's not a bad game. And depending on that one or the Atari one, that's two different games, two different adventures with Kool-Aid.
I know, right? You could have all the Kool-Aid adventures you can handle.
Exactly. Just the premise behind it all. You're like in a haunted house looking for thirsties instead of ghosts. And then Kool-Aid may bust through the wall in this dark house.
Yeah. And that's scarier than the ghosts.
It is. Oh, but that's one that brings a smile to my face. And then, of course, another obvious one. I was literally just watching the opening scene this morning because it still fires me up. The music, the cutscenes, Batman for the NES, the opening scene for that. Buddy, as soon as I put that in, those old goosebumps for Batman and just that being the first game I ever played, being with my dad on Christmas morning, playing that game, instant smile on my face every single time. Love that game.
That is a good game. That is a stinking great game.
Really is, really is. And really kind of scared me as a kid, too, because I remember when that was the first time I'd ever seen Joker as a kid. And he's kind of scary looking in the NES version.
Yeah, he is.
At least the picture of Jack Nicholson looks really good for the NES and scared me as a kid. I was like, ooh, who's that scary guy? Of course, I never got even anywhere close to him in the game.
But, I've made it to him before. He's rough. That's a rough fight.
He's got that long gun, doesn't he?
Yeah, like the real long gun, and he can like hit you and like knock half your health off. And yeah, he's a rough fight.
I always love. I think shout out to the two dudes. I think they had us on a long time ago, and I think I watched a long play of it, and I finally saw the ending of the game, and like Batman just kills him.
Yeah,
throws him off a cliff or building.
I mean, it's just like the Tim Burton movie, though. You know, he dies in that one too.
That's true. That's true. It just makes it seem more intentional, I think, in the video game.
Yeah, they're like, Batman's not even trying to hold back.
Oh gosh. So let's see. I'll try to come up with one more. But do you have one?
I was gonna guess this one for you.
Oh yeah.
and you're probably gonna hate me for saying it. Shadowgate.
I actually really did like. The first time I ever played it was on Game Boy. I think the Game Boy Color thing they had Shadowgate. Yeah, you know what? That's a fun one. That is a lot of fun.
I think it's kind of underrated. I mean, it's a little, it's a lot like the old PC games in the day where you could like get yourself into a dead end and not get back out. Mm-hmm. But it's fun. I mean, in a goofy way, I really like it.
Yeah. Okay. I got one more for you, and this is another obvious one: Road Rash. Any of the Road Rash games for the Sega, particularly 1 and 2, I remember my buddy Frankie, the first time I ever saw, he was the first person I ever knew that had a Sega, and he got it like a year before I did, so we would go over there a lot, and I still had a Nintendo, but I didn't have my Sega yet, and he had Tasmanian Devil, he had Sonic 1, and I think he had Road Rash 1, and I remember thinking as I'm playing it with him, this is the prettiest game I've ever seen. Like, I remember the graphics being so cool looking, and that, you know, you had your cutscenes at the end, and then my other neighbor, he got a Sega channel And he had all the Road Rashes 1, 2, and 3 on the Sega Channel. I remember playing at his house several times. And then, I think in fourth grade, I want to say the PlayStation might have been out then, or it was about to come out, or I don't know what it was. A kid in my class was like, "Hey, I'm selling some Sega games. I want money for like a school store." And I had like $6 on me. I said, "Oh, what games are you going to sell?" And he was telling me all the ones he had. I was like, "Do you have Road Rash?" He's like, "Yeah, I've got all three of them." So I bought like all three Road Rashes, the game Balls. You remember that game?
Yeah, I remember that game.
And then like there was one or two others. I think Crewball I might have gotten from him too. For $6, I got like six games.
Man, that's a steal.
I know. I was like, this is the best deal I've ever gotten. I took those games, remember playing that at my dad's house, and, you know, to this day, I can still put those games in and have a ball. I love the Road Rash games. And I know I haven't played the new one, or the spiritual sequel that they have now, or I don't know if that's how you call it, but I forget what it's called, but it's on the Switch, but I haven't played it. But the old ones are amazing.
Yeah, I think the last one I played was Road Rash 3D on PS1. That was a good game.
That was a good game,
That was a good one.
Yeah, Road Rash 3D, and what was the other one called that was just... Was it just Road Rash?
I think it may have just been Road Rash. I think it was just, like, Road Rash, but it was... Was it, like, PS2, maybe?
Well, yeah, they had one for the Saturn and the PlayStation, right?
Yeah, I know 3D was...
Was that 3D?
They may have done 3D on the Saturn. I don't know. I know they did it on the PlayStation because it had like the different gangs you could join, like the Harley guys and the sport bike guys and all those different gangs. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. That is 3D. And then there's another one. I think it's just called Road Rash. But that's got the Soundgarden soundtrack on it. And that one is awesome. Very, very kind of comic booky, the way it's styled and graphics. But man, I played a lot of that game too. But yeah, I'd say those are some of my feel-good games. You got any more there, Hosehead?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I've got one for Game Boy that not a lot of people have played, and it was like one of the only Game Boy games I had growing up as a kid. Kirby's Pinball Land.
That one,
it's like a pinball adventure. You start out, you have three tables that you can select from, and there's a boss. You have to do certain things, and you get to fight a boss at the end of each table. And when you beat all the bosses, a little star comes down in the middle of the play field, and you get on the star and you fight the guy who's the, I can't remember what his name is, the villain for the Kirby games, and you do it like pinball style.
Oh, that sounds
like
fun.
Like, you have flippers, and he's, like, dancing around, and, like, he can disable one of your flippers for a short time and, like, do all this other stuff. And your goal is just to keep hitting him and not have the ball, you know, go between the flippers. So it's a pretty cool game. It's like an adventure pinball game, I think, almost.
I love, you know, big properties like Kirby and others when they do a pinball kind of spinoff. Or Sonic Spinball. I think of the Pokemon pinball game. I just love pinball.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got the Pokemon, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Well, actually, not the actual card. I wish I did. But I've got I downloaded it on the 3DS shop. And by the way, the 3DS shop, they closed that down this week, I think. So,
man, that's crazy. There was a lot of good games on that.
A lot of them, yeah. I'm just thankful that you can kind of re-download your purchases if you ever like switch consoles or whatever, but... but yeah, I remember they had a Pokemon sale, and I got red and blue, and then I got maybe silver and gold, and I got Pokemon Pinball. And my son loves that game. He loves pinball anyway, so Yeah, just good times with that.
Need to take him to the pinball museum.
I know, he would have a ball, man. He would have so much fun. Of course, we would too, eh? Play some more of the Ghostbusters pin.
That Ghostbusters and that Elvira one.
I know, they're my two favorite ones, I think.
Hey, let's party!
You know, Elvira and Party Monsters is not a bad pinball table.
I agree with you. I love the PlayStation 4 version of that. Man, it was... of course, I was way better at that one than I was at the real one. but I just love that design. I love... there was another one on there that was kind of basic. An older one. It was a Williams pin. Gorgar.
Gorgar, yeah, I remember Gorgar.
That's a weird, weird pin.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, if I remember correctly. It was kind of like a weird story, weird premise.
Mm-hmm. But that's another thing I loved about pinball games, too. They, like, had their own story to them, too, but you wouldn't really know what those stories were unless you read the manual.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think which ones, as a kid, that I really enjoyed growing up. Bride of Pinbot was one, like, none of them. I've probably told this story, and... if not, then, you know, here it is. When I was a kid growing up, probably about 6th, 7th, 8th grade, you know, middle school years, we would all go to our town pool, you know, me and a bunch of the other guys from school, and hang out. And we'd play tennis and go across the street to the gym and shoot basketball and go swimming in the pool. And I guess the field house for the pool, the pump house, where you go in and pay and they have snacks and stuff, had an arcade. And every year they would have two new pinball machines and about three or four arcade cabinets. And they had them all rigged to play for a quarter, but we figured out how to, like, you know, trip the switches in them and play for free. We were there so much. But Bride of Pinbot and Street Fighter II were, like, two of the big the two pinball cabinets that they had.
Ah, awesome. Good. Those are two good ones.
Those are good. And they had Funhouse, too. Funhouse was okay, but the mechanical dummy head didn't work on ours, and you couldn't do a lot of the trick shots.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Man, some of those designs on those pins were really cool. Like, there was one that I played. Once again, it was on the PS4. I've never seen it in person, but I forget what it was called. Maybe Haunted House? It was something like, it was an older one, maybe late 70s, early 80s, but it had two different levels to it. Like, your ball could go down to a lower level. And there was flippers underneath it that you could still see. Oh, it was like in a graveyard, and you could go like below the graves.
Oh, cool.
And shoot the pins. But I cannot remember the name of the machine, but boy, that was a fun one too. And I've noticed something about myself. I love anything, any game that's scary themed or Halloween themed, pinball or video game, I'm all over. I love that
theme. Me too. Like, Castlevania kind of introduced me to those type of games, and I just kind of got hooked on them.
Yeah, yeah. Castlevania kind of opened the door for us, I think.
Oh, dude, I've got a game that's kind of scary themed like that you would like, but it's a board game. It's called Fury of Dracula.
Hmm.
The way the board game's set up is the board is a map of Europe, and it has all these little cities and big cities on it. And you play it with, I think you play it five people all together. Four people are famous vampire hunters. Like, one guy's Van Helsing. One guy is some other... like, they're based on the Bram Stoker novel. They're characters from that novel. And four of them are... the four people are hunting Dracula down, and one person is Dracula, but the thing is, Dracula doesn't have a piece on the board. So the other ones are trying to guess what city he's in.
Oh, cool.
And it has a day-night cycle. So during the day... the vampire hunters can go to town, they can, you know, resupply, they get supplies by drawing like a deck of cards that have different, you know, vampire supplies in them. But if they draw a card during the day that's a Dracula power, they can discard it. They can also do supplies at night, but if they draw a Dracula card, Dracula gets that power and he can use it. So it's like it's like a gamble.
Fun.
But the thing is, they're trying to find out what city in Europe Dracula's in before he gets a thing. He has a thing called influence. And every week that goes by, Dracula gets one influence, but he also gets influence for, like, if he kills a vampire hunter in a major city, he gets influence.
Hmm. So what happens when he gets influence?
When he gets 13 influence, the game's over and Dracula takes over Europe.
Oh, okay. Wow, cool.
And they've got, dude, they've got a digital version of it. They've got it for phones and on Steam, and I've been playing the phone version, like, hardcore here lately, but they made it into a board game, too. It was a board game from, like, I want to say 10 or 12 years ago, and the board game, like the physical game, is really hard to find now.
Really? Oh, man, that sounds awesome. I'm going to have to download that.
It had a little Dracula miniature in it that, like, you could move around if you wanted people to know where Dracula was at, and it's cool, and, like, you can make an army of vampires if you're Dracula to fight the vampire hunters and throw them off your trail.
Oh, cool.
Oh, dude, the combat's kind of like rock, paper, scissor based, too, with cards. Like, you have six cards, and the person who's playing Dracula picks one for Dracula, and the person who's the vampire hunter picks one for the vampire hunter, and you flip them over at the same time, and if Dracula beats the vampire hunter, then Dracula damages the vampire hunter, or he affects the flow-up. Like, he can take cards away from the vampire hunters, too, with his powers, if they're successful.
That sounds like a lot of fun. My wife and I would definitely be all over that, because we were just talking about how we went to CM Games the other day, and we were checking out some of the Pokemon cards, and we're like, oh, man, we need to get a babysitter, not just to, you know, go on any crazy dates or anything like that, just to play cards and, like, board games, because right now they're at the point where they kind of want to, the kids want to destroy, not so much Grayson, but my daughter's, she's not quite four yet, so she's in that, hey, mommy, what are you doing? Okay, I want to chew those cards. Hey, what is this? So, you know, it would be great to find a babysitter and just, like, go somewhere and play these games.
That would be cool. But you could download that Dracula game, dude, and you can play it on your phone with other people online. Like, you can be a vampire hunter with three other people online who are playing against a person who's Dracula online.
Oh, cool. Cool.
It's kind of like hide and seek, but with Dracula is kind of how I think about it. You're trying to find Dracula, but when you find him, he can, like, fight back. And it's based on the Bram Stoker, so, like, all the lore in that book carries over into that game, too. And, like, all of the cities that Dracula can go to and all the powers he have are from the book.
Ah, oh, man, that sounds fun. That sounds fun. Cool, man. We could talk about Halloween stuff all day long.
Dude, we could. I think me and you could do that, and I don't think we ever really knew that we were both into Halloween as much as we were until, like, we started talking about it.
Happy, happy Halloween.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking. Be in front of your TV sets for the horror-a-thon. And remember the big giveaway at 9. Don't miss it. And don't forget to wear your masks. The clock is ticking. It's almost time.
Happy, happy Halloween.
I was always fascinated with scary stuff, but I think, like, more recently, I'd say in the last 10, 15 years, Halloween's kind of become my favorite time of the year. I still love,
man.
Christmas,
it's so much
but
fun.
Yeah, it really is fun. I love being scared. So, but yeah, I think that is something we definitely have in common, which is we didn't know that about each other. And thanks to this podcast, now we know.
Get down to some cheesy horror movies, games, and everything else in between.
Amen, man. Amen. That's why we still remain best friends, man. We're very, very similar.
That's right.
And yet, you know, we bounce each other out. You know, you're like the funny, calm one. I'm more like the rattling, rambling.
Nah.
I'd like to think I'm calm. I'm not a very angry guy. I've never been an angry guy. I don't know what I am. I'm a hoser. That's what I am.
Yeah, you're a hose head. I was going to say, speaking of board games, like, that's something I would like to get into. I've always wanted to get into, like, really, you know, like, and I saw your post here a few weeks ago about Dungeons & Dragons, and I've always wanted to try to play that with people.
Me too. Me too. Have you ever played? Because I've never played.
I've never played either. My sister plays, and her fiancé, he's real big into D&D. So I'd say Houston could probably teach us if we wanted to learn.
Oh, yeah. Yo, hey, we got somebody.
I know that she, her and him, like, they've went on a few dates at, like, friends' houses, and they've played Dungeons & Dragons from, like, 7 o'clock in the evening to, like, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, like, just one game.
Wow. It seems like it would be a lot of fun. Like, if you just kind of check your ego out at the door and just kind of let loose and have fun,
yeah.
I think it'd be a ton of fun.
And she said, like, you know, like, in games, it's kind of like you fight, you run away, you talk, you do this. She said, but in that, you know, you can, like, if you can think it up and the person who's running the game's cool with it, like, you can talk to the monster and try to make friends with it.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you roll high enough, he'll be your friend.
Yeah, I love that, too, because, like, I know they would show on G4 TV, they have like a Dungeons and Dragons segment that they do. And it's always really fun. Like, I'll watch it. I'm like, man, this looks like a lot of fun. Because a lot of times the players have no idea what's going to happen. And, you know, they roll and the Dungeon Master kind of throws some variables in there. And they kind of have to roll with it. So it's really, really seems like it would be right up our alley.
It seems like it would be fun. Like, I saw an interview, and it wasn't that long ago. It was probably about a couple of days ago that Trey Parker did with like a tabletop gaming YouTube channel. And he said what got him into board games was playing D&D as a kid and always having to be the dungeon master and write the stories for everybody. He said, and then he kind of took that process over and started using that to write South Park. And he said, you know, here we are, wow, 25 years later, and I'm still doing it.
Gosh, that's hard to believe. Yeah, South Park's 25 years old. But yeah, he's exactly right.
And, you know, that's he felt that like made you a better storyteller because you could, you know, paint yourself into a corner and then you would have to tell the story to get yourself back out of it.
Yes, exactly. Having to think on the fly. That's good.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, we do have some questions, too, that we can both kind of talk about here. And our first one is from our good buddy Brian Voss. He says, do you still watch wrestling? So, Landon, I'll turn that one over to you.
Posehead. Sometimes. I don't watch a lot of the new stuff, but, like, I'll get a hankering to watch, like, an old, like, 1980s WCW or an old, you know, mid to early 90s WWF match or a pay-per-view. Usually, like, WrestleMania 10 time frame is when I kind of really was into it.
That's awesome. How about the same way? I haven't watched a lot of the new stuff. I do watch it occasionally. Like, I did go to a Monday Night Raw here in Knoxville not long ago, and that was a lot of fun. I really like the women's division. They really are, and the women's division's always been, in more recent years, has been really entertaining. I haven't watched any of AEW. It sounds like it's awesome. I just, there's not that many hours in the day, it seems like, when you get home. So usually that my spare time, I'm either reading or playing with the kids or doing something, but I every now and then I will watch a classic match. I'm still a sucker for Bret Hart and Roddy Piper and some of the others, so I'll still go back and watch some of my favorite matches. And I follow a couple of you know, classic wrestlers and fan pages on Instagram, and they show a bunch of stuff. But Savage, you know, Ric Flair, Piper,
Ric Flair.
Oh yeah, Bret Hart, all those guys. You know, love anything they put out there. So. Yeah, great question, Brian. We appreciate that.
I saw Ric Flair live when I was in about fifth grade. He took Sting on for the main event.
I remember you telling me that.
That was a good main event. That was a good main event. Flair got his trunks pulled down around his ankles. He had a wrinkly... He, like, even back in like 95, 96, he had a wrinkly butt back then.
Oh, so the ladies weren't going, woo!
Oh, the ones on the other side of the ring were. Like, I was on the side of the ring that saw the backside.
You saw the you're on the full moon side, eh?
Yeah, we were on the
you're
full
on the
moon
dark side of the moon.
Boo. Yeah, I saw him. Who else did I see? Scott Hall. Scott Hall's a big man in real life. Like, when you see him on TV, you're like, ah, he looks like a normal average guy. But, like, when you see him up close in person, you're like, man, that guy's huge.
Yeah, you know what? I figured that out about him too. The reason we always kind of assume he's probably average, like an average sized guy, is because he's always standing next to Kevin Nash. But, like, by himself, he's like 6'3" or 6'4". He's still a really big man.
Kevin Nash is a big guy in real life. I saw him once. I was probably in a second row balcony at a match and saw him. And even that far away, like, he was just a massive man walking toward the ring.
Yeah, it's a big guy. It's a big guy. He's
a big dude. Sting's a big guy, too. Like, you wouldn't think he would be. But, you know, you see him in real life, and, I mean, he's a big man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was like when we saw Mick Foley up in Kentucky at that Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we said, hey, Mick. And he waved at us.
Yeah.
And I remember you looked at me and you're like, man, he's huge in real life. I'm like, yeah, no, I didn't think he was that big, but he's a big man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I always think of, I think that was the same Comic-Con where we met
So we met Jim Cornette.
Jim Cornette. Yes, I blanked on his name for a second. And I asked if he took credit cards.
He said, bend over and I'll swipe it.
He's like, sure, just swipe it between the crack of my... He didn't miss a beat. He was great.
He was good. He was a cool dude to talk to. I told my dad, some of his buddies used to go up to Asheville and watch when he first started managing, like in the early 80s. I'm like, yeah, I met Jim Cornette. And he's like he is on TV. He's the same guy.
He's the same guy.
He's just like a mile a minute.
Yeah, I know. I know. He really is. But he was very nice to us. You know, signed our book.
He talked to us
for a while.
Very professional.
Very cool. Very cool. Definitely made us feel welcome. He was awesome. So Anthony Pig, he says, if you could have any game remade or remastered, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good one. Because there are so many remasters of a lot of the old games that I like to play as a kid.
Well, you mentioned Chrono Trigger. I would love to see that. Like, I know it's been remastered before, but maybe like slightly updated graphics. Not too much. Don't mess with it too much. But I could totally see it on the Switch. Just a slight, you know, facelift with some of the 2D graphics, but not a whole lot. But I would just love to see something like that. I would love for Parasite Eve to come back out.
That's a good one. That's one that doesn't get a whole lot of press, and it was a really good game.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, it was like the perfect combination between Resident Evil and Final Fantasy. I loved that game. Never played the second one, but I loved the first one. And we haven't heard a thing from that series since PlayStation 1.
It's like it just died off or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of PlayStation 1 series, one that could be remade and remastered, Twisted Metal.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been a while.
Like an updated Twisted Metal with a, you know, hard rock soundtrack like it had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little updated graphics. Keep the characters the same, but kind of update them a little bit. Make the polygons not as sharp on the 3D cars, you know?
Right, yeah. And even if it was like a spinoff, like Rocket League, you know, something like that, where you could get a bunch of people to play. Oh, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was just like a big demolition derby with guns.
Yeah, exactly. So Nick DeMarco, he says, where on the Luther family tree is the brawny paper towel man? Oh, man, that's a good question.
He's the roots, man. He's the foundation.
That's exactly right. I'm not manly like he is. But he'd also asked a follow-up question. He said, when are the Retro Junkies visiting Nick D's video game vault, the finest establishment of the retro in the Electric City? I mean, that's if the city will have them, of course. There's a strict limit on hosers, I hear.
Well, you can sneak me across the border, or I can sneak Rob across the border.
Yes, I you know, Nick, one of these days I would love to come up and see you.
Me too.
Maybe when the kiddos are a little bit older and it's a little bit easier to travel, that would be a lot of fun.
You can pick me up. We'll go together.
Yes, that'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. Maybe take the whole crew, see if we can get pick Nick Stevens up and a few others and just load up and come surprise you one day. I do see that happening sometime in the future. That would be a lot of fun to do that.
That'd be a fun road trip. That'd be something. If we could figure out how to podcast from a moving vehicle, that would be cool.
Exactly.
Shut up, I'm driving!
Let's see. Corey Neighbors, he says, if you could wipe your memory of one game and experience it again for the first time, what would it be? Ooh, that's a great question.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, so to me, I would say, so I would qualify that as like, okay, what's a game that had such an incredible experience playing it? And then you could replay it, like feel that, have that experience again. Oh, man.
Oh, there's a lot that I would love to just.
Yeah.
And do it with the same people and everything. Oh, gosh.
That's tough.
That's a hard question.
Okay, I'll start with my instant answer, and that is no game shook me more than Suikoden for the PlayStation. There's a Suikoden, I think that's how you say it. That game shook me as a kid. When I first played that game, I just got so emotionally invested. And I was heartbroken when some of the characters died. I remember when I finally beat the game. Oh, no, I didn't even beat the game. It was just one of my favorite characters died in the game. And I was so emotionally invested in the storyline. I was emotional.
Yeah.
And you know, that was, I think, one of the first times I was like, holy cow, this is what video games can do. And I remember it was a Sunday. And the Sundays are always kind of depressing when you're a kid anyway, because you got school the next day. It was a Sunday, and my favorite character died, and it was a rainy day. And I'm like, this is, I just felt so emotional.
And you were just having a hard day.
Yeah, but the fact that, like, I was so attached to the characters made me think, man, this is a great story. And when I beat the game, I was like, this is one of the best games and best experiences I've ever had playing a game. So if it's just one-on-one, me and the game, I would say that. But if it's, you know, socially, I would say probably playing Ms. Pac-Man with you guys. Like,
yeah, that was always a good time.
Yeah. Chasing the high scores, man, together. Those experiences were so fun.
That was fun. I remember we would just, like, get bunches of quarters and change. Like, we'd pay in cash just to get quarters to go play.
Yep, at that old gas station. Or the loiterers. So what about you, man?
Group, I would probably say Ms. Pac-Man, again, just like you, because that was such a good time. And, like, even people that weren't hanging out with would be like, hey, man, you want to come try for the high score? And, you know, you'd get some old dude like, yeah, I'll show you kids how we did it back in the 80s. And he'd get on there and he'd just, like, beat everybody. But,
yep.
You know, that was probably group. Individual, ooh, that's tough. What I would say would be individual, because there's so many of them. Golly, there's so many.
Final Fantasy VII is another one, too.
I was going to say, like, Final Fantasy VII was one. Chrono Trigger was one. One that's kind of surprising is Final Fantasy Tactics.
Ooh, yeah. Great game.
That game is so story-driven, but the thing is, like, and if I'm spoiling it for people, I'm going to go ahead and say spoilers, like, the end of that game is pretty much everything everybody did was for nothing, because things went like they always had before. Nobody changed anything. It's so it's depressing and sad, but in a way where you're kind of like, okay, well, you know, according to history, this is what happened, but you know that your guys did something that wasn't recorded, and it was very complex. It's a very complex game. Like, it's a lot of political motivations and people making alliances just to screw somebody over that screwed them over before. I mean, it's a really complex game, but I really enjoyed it. And I love the fact, you know, spoilers, that the guy who said he would never use people and get to power on his own pretty much married the person he married to get the throne and then killed her at the end of the game.
There's some irony for you.
Yeah, and then they ended up killing each other. Like, he stabbed her, and while she was leaned over, she, like, stabbed him, and they kind of died together, and he realized that he had become what he said he would never be or never wanted to be.
Wow. I mean, there was a point in time where Final Fantasy could do no wrong back then.
Yeah, like 7, Tactics, and more or less 8. 8 was an okay game. I played 8 just because I really liked that card game in it.
Yeah, 8, I don't remember beating 8. I beat 7, but I don't think I ever beat 8. And sad thing is, I didn't play 9 until many years later.
See, I've got that one, and I've never really got into it. I don't know what it is. I've just not had time, but I hear that it's the best one out of the PlayStation games.
That's what I've heard, too. I've never beaten it myself, and I think it's on the Switch shop now. Like, you can get it for $5, $10 now, so now would be probably a good time to pick it up, you know, play it portably.
Yeah. Old man, play it in the bed before I go to bed at night.
But for me, it's always like 5 minutes and I'm already dozing up. I'm like, okay, that's it for me.
It's like, what was I doing? I'm just going to turn. I'm just going to say and go to bed.
Exactly. So our good old buddy Craig, he says, what's one game or games you like that aren't a genre that you would normally like? For example, I enjoy tennis and hockey games, even though I don't watch the sport.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, it's another great question. Yeah.
I do like tennis games, even though, like, tennis, I know how to play and I know how you score and everything, but I'm not, like, super duper all about tennis, but I do like tennis games.
Tennis games are fun. Yeah, I always enjoyed those, and I didn't think I would ever like, I don't like watching tennis, but I love playing tennis. Like, the actual sport is a lot of fun when you actually play. But yeah, I love tennis games. My son and I, we were playing Mario Tennis on the GameCube the other day, and that was fun.
Oh, that's a great game.
Oh, super fun, yeah. I think I remember us playing that in Michael's.
Dude, me and you had some pretty good games on that.
Yeah, we did. That was fun.
We'd get up to, like, love, and, like, it would just be back and forth. Like, nobody could get the point, but we'd always have the advantage on the other guy, and I don't know. It was fun.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Then you do like some kind of power serve, and I'd always get schooled. You were always better at games than I was, man.
It's just because I was a nerd and played them all the time. You had a lot.
I did too. No, I did too, man. But you know, there's nothing worse than being a nerd and playing games all your life. You know, you think, okay, that's the one thing I'm good at, and then somebody just schools you in it. And that was like Lynn Prince schooling me in hockey. I'm like, oh, I've been playing hockey all my life. I'm gonna be way better than him. Like, within 2 weeks, he was already better than me. I was like, don't.
He was such a good skater. He was such a good skater, and then he just picked the rest of it up naturally.
He sure did. He was just a natural athlete, and I definitely wasn't.
Dude, his son's doing pretty good in junior hockey, I think, and peewee hockey.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Oh no, I'm happy for him. That's awesome. But yeah, let's see. I'm trying to think about that question.
Racing is one that I like. I don't watch a whole lot of racing on TV, but I love racing games.
Yes, I'm with you. I was actually thinking about that. I love racing. So what are some of your favorite racing games out there?
NASCAR 98.
Oh, yeah.
On PlayStation 1. I love that game. Me and my dad used to play that game all the time. NASCAR 98. I'll throw in Mario Kart series just because everybody loves Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Dirt Track FX, like dirt bike racing, bike racing games. I love those.
Me too. I do too. Dirt Tracks FX. That I remember that had a bunch of mini games you could do. Like there was like a tag game.
Yeah, the tag game was fun.
Yeah, yeah, and I remember the music was really good in that. But yeah, I'm with you there. I love racing games. I loved RC Pro Am. I love, of course, Road Rash. I mentioned that earlier. Pole Position. I love that on the Vectrex as well. Man, there's so many cool racing games. And you know, racing is a sport that, or motorsport that I didn't care for when I was younger. But when I finally got to see NASCAR live in 2014 at Bristol Motor Speedway, that changed everything. When I saw it live, I was like, holy cow, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah, those cars are so fast.
Yeah, and then I started reading the books about the history of the sport. And it's fascinating because it was all illegal back in the day. It was all based in prohibition and transporting moonshine and everything.
They're moonshiners and bootleggers.
When I read the history of it, and then I started learning about the strategy behind it and the pit crews and when to pit and when not to. There's a lot more than just them riding around in circles. And I grew into a fan more recently.
Hey, that's all right, man. NASCAR's cool. I remember watching NASCAR back in the day.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, it's fun. It's
Gran Turismo is another series that I like that's racing. I forgot about Gran Turismo. I love those games.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played a Gran Turismo game.
You need to play a Gran Turismo game with Casey Webster because he can tell you what in the game is real and what's not. He'd be like, that's bull. That car don't have that much horsepower in real life. It's really got this much horsepower and this much torque. I've got the numbers reversed. He used to say that about one all the time. And I'm like, Casey, I know, man. You've told me like three times. I'm not going to pick that car because it's not true to life. Well, it might be if you put a turbo on it, but I don't think I think that car's naturally aspirated. I don't think you can put a turbo on it. I think they've got that wrong, too. I don't think you can put a turbo on that car.
I like your Casey impression.
And I'm like, Casey, man, okay, well,
all right.
Set the car up how you want to set it up, and we'll race them.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I'm trying to think. Any other good racing games? What's the one that you always school me on? That one's a fun one.
Oh, gosh.
You schooled me on it last time we were at the arcade together.
Oh, Super Off-Road.
Super Off-Road. That's a fun one. Yep.
Super Off-Road. That is probably my favorite racing game.
that's a great
one. The arcade cabinet with good old Ivan Stewart in it.
Oh, yeah. So we did get another one from Aaron Hickman. He says, how did you come up with the astounding Ask Aaron segment vocal on Genesis Jams? And Nick DeMarco says, yeah, we need a VH1 behind the music type deal on this. Okay, so story behind this one is there's really no story. I literally... found the YouTube clip of the Jeopardy theme for Sega Genesis, and I wrote the lyrics in you can tell. I wrote the lyrics in like 30 seconds. Aaron Hickman is a dude. You know, just kind of winging it.
Yeah, show plug.
Yeah, you see what I did there? Yep. But, yeah. I love that he's kept that horrible, horrible track of mine all these years. So, I think that's it for the questions. So thank you guys for the questions on that. That was good stuff, good topics. So yeah, man. Anything else you want to talk about real quick before we sign out another totally tubular episode of Winging It?
I think this has been a fun episode. It's been fun to reminisce and look back and kind of share some stories as to what we were doing when things were going on the show.
Yeah, same here, man. I look back on 10 years and I think the thing that we always say, and it really is the honest to God's truth, it's just something, speaking of, you know, feel good games, this is just a feel good show for us. It's been this way for a long time. It's a great excuse for Landon and I to just kind of hang out and talk. And, you know, I think we've always tried to be true to have fun. I think for me especially, it early on, I would say I probably did put a little bit of pressure on myself to get content out there, to outdo myself on the skits and stuff. I put a lot of pressure on myself early on. But in more recent years, especially these last three or four, I've just quit caring about that. I quit caring about that so much and just, number one priority, have fun. And that's what it's all about. Because if you put too much pressure on yourself, it starts feeling like a job. And that's, this is a project. This is just for fun, you know? It's
just for S's and G's, man.
Darn right, man. Darn right. So, guys, stay tuned. We will be covering the Maximum Carnage game on the SNES and Sega Genesis next month here in March. And, and Lena, I wanted to run this by you. Maybe after that, we could do our next Retromania. What do you think?
Hey, I'm down for that.
Yeah, the last one we did, two classic arcade games. And this one, this time, we were going to do, if it's okay with you, I had a couple ideas. Like, maybe we could literally treat it like a WrestleMania card, and we have certain retro snacks that we pit against each other. You know, which one was our favorite pick? You know, these kinds of Doritos or this kind of, who knows? Maybe do like favorite retro snacks, favorite retro drink, and then work our way up to, you know, console game on this system or whatever, and then go all the way up to arcade games or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go.
I like that.
Yeah, and then like maybe leave it as a poll on our group page and have people vote.
We could definitely have some time, especially, you know, where when we get Spider-Man kind of hammered out, then we'll have plenty of time to get that done. That'll give us I like that.
That'd be fun, and get our friends involved in that. That'd be a lot of fun. And then also, I was thinking maybe after that, maybe sometime this year. This year we could do a Hoser Vision on Wreck-It Ralph. I love that movie.
I would be down for that. I like Wreck-It Ralph. That's a good movie.
Ah, oh, that'd be fun. I've been dying to talk about that movie.
That is a good movie. That's one of my favorite movies Disney's made.
Cool. Hey, we've got a few that we can talk about in the next few days then, or next few months. Excuse me. Awesome, man. Well, hey, we got some great stuff up the pike, guys, and stay tuned for that. And if you want to send us an email in the meantime, our email address is trjsupershow@gmail.com, or you can check us out on Twitter at rj_supershow, and I think on Instagram it's the_retro_junkies. And you can always give us a call on our Hoser hotline at 865-309-4875. We would love to hear from you. And we really thank Corey for reaching out to us last time. Really was awesome to hear you on this feed, man. And guys, as we've been saying, thank you so much for sticking with us for nearly 10 years now. So Hoser, what type of wings are we going to have to close out another totally tubular episode of the Retro Junkie Super Show?
Oh, let's see. Since we're doing some reminiscing, let's do the orange glaze.
Oh, good call, Ben. Good call. Orange glaze. Now, did you dip your orange glaze in any sauces, or did you just take it straight up?
I just took it straight up because it was so sweet. It was kind of like a dessert wing.
Really? Yeah, especially with the crunch on it. Oh, so good. That sounds good to me, my friend. Well, guys, here's to hoping you enjoy your friends and enjoy your family and enjoy a bodacious bowl of orange glazed wings. Good day and good gaming.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Every time I think about it, I'm like, nobody likes Bill House.
I was like, come on, guys. We all know this.
Oh, Girl Hope.
I still like, nice doggy.
It's the horseshoe crab.
Oh, he's petting it, and the horseshoe crab's like shaking its tail too.
He was the dud in that
you
one
too. You got the dud. I was gonna say you got the dud. Even Mars makes fun of him.
Stand up for yourself, Poindexter. It looks like you, Poindexter.
Oh gosh. Yeah, he had a thing for Lisa in that episode, I think.
I think he did. Like, he signed her yearbook and it said, "See you in the car, Milhouse."
He's like waving at her. Oh gosh, you gotta love him. And of course I love Milhouse's dad too.
Oh, Milhouse's dad's great. I sleep in a racing car, do you? I sleep in a big bed with my wife. Oh.
Oh. Oh gosh, yeah, well, yeah, man. So, how have you been doing the last couple weeks? I haven't gotten to talk to you in a while.
Pretty good. We've all been fighting off a cold here. There's some kind of upper respiratory thing going around. Lori got a sinus infection from it, and I just took it the other day, but I got to the doctor today, and they're like, yeah, it's not an infection yet. You can just take steroids, and you'll be better. I'm like, all right, cool.
Oh, good, good. Lola seemed to be okay?
Dude, she's just popping right along. Like, she had a sniffly nose for one day, and she's like, all right, I'm better.
Man, kids are resilient,
She was the carrier monkey. She gave it to us.
But she's not... I was going to say, at least she's not like Krusty the Clown's monkey. What was his name?
Mr. Teeny.
Mr. Teeny. Hey, Mr. Teeny needs another pack of his nicotine gum.
That poor monkey.
Oh, gosh, yeah, but... yeah, dude, I have nothing planned for the day, but I was like, you know what? I miss talking to Landon. I'd love to put something out there. So this is like a true winging it right here.
That's right. We'll answer questions live. This isn't a live show. Oh,
we'll ask each other questions while we're answering them.
Yeah, we'll ask each other questions and be alive while we do so.
Exactly. So it works. Well, cool, man. Well, I'll take us in, my friend, and we'll just have some fun with this. And good one, eh?
Oh, thank you.
And I don't think it'll be more than like an hour if that, so we can go to bed early, eh?
Hey, I'm all for that. We got to get up and go to a tournament tomorrow.
Oh, do you? What time?
Lola's got to be there at 10:30, but it's in Silva, so it's not too far away.
Oh, good. I know, man. She's been killing it, hasn't she?
She's been doing really good. They're really talking about doing travel ball with her. She's going to be one of the youngest ones on the team, but they said they think she can hang with them, so...
Wow, that's awesome. She's a good little athlete, and she's really enjoying it, isn't she?
Oh, she loves it. Like, I told her, you know, the way they're thinking about doing this is they're going to do it at the end of summer, all through fall, and then you go straight into playing with your school team, your youth team, you know, like you normally do, you know, going into the winter. Mm-hmm. I said, are you okay with that? I said, you might miss cheerleading. She's like, Dad, you don't win anything in cheerleading. I want to win something. I'm like, okay.
Wow, that's awesome. Sounds like she really likes it. That's really cool.
She's got good coaches, too. Her coaches have been great this year, and they're going to work. On the travel ball team, they said that she would work. She's got three coaches, two of them that she's got this year and her coach next year. And she's going to work with them all summer. Like, one day she's going to be with one coach, then the next day she's going to be with the next coach. And then on her free day, she can get with her other coach, and they can kind of go over some things together.
Oh, great. You know, three different perspectives too. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're wanting her to be a down low, like a post player that can dribble the ball too.
They said
because a tall person or a big person that can dribble the ball is just another asset. They said they could, you know, use to help the guards when they get in trouble.
Yeah, because she's really tall for her age, isn't he?
She is 5'3.5".
Wow, already. And she's what, third grade?
Yeah, she's 8 years old. She'll be 9 in June.
That's hard to believe.
I know.
She'll be 9 in June? Are you kidding
me? No, dude, I can't believe it either.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that kind of ties into what I was going to talk about on the show, too, is like, we have been podcasting for almost 10 years. Doesn't that make you feel old when you think of it that way?
Gosh, dude, don't even talk to me about feeling old.
Years.
I feel like an old man now.
Me too. My students really make me feel old because back in the day, I used to kind of joke that I was 20 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So I started teaching when I was 23, so I was saying that I was 43 back then. well, now if you do the math, I'm 55. I'm like,
ooh.
And then when I try, so, but they would always, you know, would be like, oh, you only look like you're in your 20s or whatever. and then I tell them, I'm 35. Like, man, you're still old.
It's like, yeah, you're old. It's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Still young. I'm still young.
I can still get down with it. I'm still jiggy with it.
Like, what does that mean? Man, you don't know.
If you don't know, then you're not cool.
And then I dab, and they're like, oh my gosh, that was so 5 years ago.
And you're like, shut up. Go to the office. Like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to put some.
All right, fine. I'm going to play with a fidget spinner. That was so 3 years ago.
Rubik's Cube?
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, cool, man. Well, I will take us in, and we'll just, we'll have some fun and really wing it here. Okay.
I like it.
Cool. And I'll get you out of here, man. But
don't worry about it.
As soon as we can.
Don't worry about it. I'm on steroids. I'm like all hopped up and on energy and burning up, so I'm all right.
Hey, I hear you, man. I hear you. I got my Dr. Pepper. I'm good to go.
Hey, that's what I got.
Hey, nice. Diet Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
Me too. Very nice.
Oh.
Cheers, Hosehead.
Yeah, you're here.
Twinsies, you're here.
That's right.
All right. Well, here we go, my friend. I'll take us in.